Well, we're visiting this morning with Lyle Pigg of Atlantic, and Lyle spent time in the United States Marine Corps. Lyle, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Thanks for coming in.
Don't call me sir.
I should be saluting you. you joined the Marine Corps because, well, you were drafted.
Yeah.
And this was in the 40s?
Yeah.
Okay. And you had an opportunity. Well, you chose the Marine Corps.
Correct.
Why did you choose the Marines?
Well, I had had a cousin from Omaha that was taken prisoner down there. And I had delusions there that if I was in the Pacific or maybe we could be in a bunch that would try to rescue him, which never happened. They put him aboard a ship, one of their ships, and one of ours sank it. So he went down with the chaplain on there, came back to the States and went to Omaha and told his parents about how he ended up there. But otherwise, I just wanted the Pacific there.
Yeah, you want to be in the Pacific Theater?
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about the different places that you've been? I know you get around a little bit when you, especially during the wartime there, back during World War II, and you spend a little bit of time traveling.
Oh, yeah.
What type of places did you head to?
Well, the 1st Marine Division was clear down south there. That's where they're set up. That was about 60 nautical miles from Guadalcanal. So that's why they take us down there for practice landings and that stuff. And that's where I got my knee cut open there.
A lot of tough times. You're not living in apartments and things. You don't have necessarily always running water in a bathroom to go hit.
Right.
A little bit different life than what we're accustomed to.
Always much different.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about some of those experiences that you had? Did you get very close with many of your mates there?
Not you purposely didn't get too close, just simply because you didn't know who's going to be where and when. I was good friends with this one sergeant, and we'd trade cigarettes, all that stuff, and we had to make a run for it to get down out of fire from the snipers. And so he said, "You go ahead and up, I'll be right behind you." Well, I got down there, you get down so far, and then the snipers couldn't see you. I looked back, and he wasn't there, and I asked the next guy in. I said, "Where's Sarge?" He says, "He was running right behind you, and sniper got him. The boys took him back." So I never heard from him again after that. So I don't know if he pulled through or otherwise. I've wondered about that sometimes.
It's hard to get close to folks that you don't know if you'll really ever see again.
Yeah.
A tough time, and it's difficult because you want to keep in touch back home. It was much more difficult back then to keep in touch than it is today.
Oh, yes.
But you want to try to keep touch with home. You had a wife back home.
Oh, yeah.
Children at that time?
Yep.
So
had two and one on the way.
Yeah, so it's kind of tough to be away, obviously, and you want to keep touch, but you're kind of restricted what you can do.
Oh, yes. Yeah, well, like I said before, on this writing business area, it all gets edited. That's what got me in hot water that one time. But I think basically so speaking, it was pretty good. But some of the scariest things here, when we were down in this place we ran for and got, we had us pinned down, one guy took his helmet, put it up, just eased up like he's looking at it, and bing, sniper just spun that helmet off. Well, I was on the so-called radio, walkie-talkie deal, and I kept calling for headquarters. I'd move around different areas, and I couldn't get an answer. And so this first lieutenant there, I was assigned to him. He said, "Lyle," he says, "I hate like the devil to send you." He said, "You got to get out of here and find headquarters and tell them our position and our conditions and what to do." So I made a run for it, and I looked and looked and looked, and finally could hear some noise up ahead. So I went up that direction. I got up there. Well, there was a blanket laying on the ground. The radio was laying on top of it, turned off. I saw red, and could clear up about halfway up the steep hill was the headquarters, and I hollered out at the Dodge, "You blankety blank blank blank." I said, "I'm going to get you." And the captain ran out and stopped me and wanted to know what was going on. He says, "Well," he said, "don't worry about him." He says, "I will tend to him later. You get back and tell the boys to try to get out." So we got back down in there, and took us just quite a long time because you had to feed out one at a time. There's a building reminded me of a corn shed, and you make a run for that, you just clear, and then when you come out the other side, you had probably about half a block to go to about a 4 foot block wall and get over that, then you're clear. So I took my turn, run from there to the wall. I kept hearing the snap, 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 which is the way when they're hitting close to you. And I was dodging back and forth. I got over the wall and rolled away from it. The next guy come over there, and he says, "You lucky SOB." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Didn't you know there's fire?" I said, "Well, yeah, I knew there's fire." And he says, "Every time you zig and zag, it was hitting just right behind your feet." But he says, you still got clear of it. So that's one of the things that you never forget about it.
Oh, absolutely.
That snap and sound. It stays with you.
Oh, yeah. Did you find yourself later in life just in reflective times when you had some time just to think about all this kind of stuff? Why am I still here?
Well, I wondered about that an awful lot of times. And here, a few years back before Helen started getting down, I started having some bad nightmares. And it's hard to explain it there. But I'd wake up, I was right there. I could see everybody and guys going down. I could hear all the noise. And I'd just get to hollering. And a couple of times Helen made the mistake of raising up and she got clipped. So we went to VA and went through, I think, seven doctors, including a psychiatrist. And he says, "Well, they put me on medication," which I'm still on.
Mm-hmm.
But that was just scary for me there to have those two different instances like that where I was right there.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
Right. For a lot of years, you really didn't share any story. For many years, decades, actually. You didn't really share any stories.
Nothing. She didn't ask. I didn't tell her to that 50 years.
Why did that change?
Well, when we all got together there in Omaha, the different ones started talking amongst themselves there. And as I think I said before, it just almost boiled down to that last man. They all had the same idea. If we told some of the stories we experienced, they say your biggest... She was my friend's damn liar in the world because nobody could ever do all that stuff. But it was done.
Well, it's hard for folks who haven't been involved in any kind of situation like that,
yeah,
where you're dealing basically hand-to-hand combat in some,
yeah,
cases, to understand what exactly goes through. When it's either me or you,
yeah,
your life changes drastically.
Oh, yeah. Well, somebody had this expression there, war is hell. And that just about tells the whole thing there.
Did you find when you were able to start telling and sharing some of those stories, did it help you at all to talk about some of the stuff?
Yeah, after we got started talking there, when they had that 50-year reunion, when I found out how many other guys were doing the same thing me,
yeah,
keeping their mouths shut, not even to the wives.
Well, and of course, you don't want to put your wife and your children into a position where they have to listen to some of the things that you had to go through.
Well,
I mean, if they don't need to know, why bother?
Well, I think probably over time, I've probably let about everything out to hell in there after once I got started on this talking and, yeah, talking to that psychiatrist and all that. But it's not easy to get out of your head.
No, it's not. Are there any, do you do reunions or anything like that? Do you get in touch or keep in touch with any of those guys?
Not anymore. For a while, I wrote with a guy back and forth, then he quit writing. I had some strange experiences though over there. This would be after the war.
Mm-hmm.
My outfit got sent to North China. At the time, it was a little seaside town called Xinguantao. Now, I've talked to guys that have been over there, and that whole area, we were 20 miles from the Great Wall. No roads out there. But this guy said, if you saw it now, you wouldn't believe it. He said, there's a city there about the size of New York. It's a town, or a city, actually. He'd been over there, and he was going back over there again the next day, but he says, you wouldn't know him. They got nice roads going out to the Great Wall and all that stuff. But he says, you'd be disappointed, and you'd be lost because you wouldn't know where to go. You'd just drop you in New York City and say, go.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of took the sting out of wanting to go back over there.
Yeah, I bet it did, yeah. Well, you know, so many people, especially in that era, the World War II era, went and then gave the ultimate sacrifice so that the country could remain free. they didn't get to enjoy that freedom afterward. Nope. I guess in a way you're one of the lucky ones. You fought for that freedom, but you also got to come back and enjoy that freedom as well.
Yeah, I think you're right there, Jim.
Yeah, well, very good. Well, Lyle, I know there are a million stories we could sit here and talk about. There are a ton of stories, and that's why we wanted to visit a little bit, too, and start this little Freedom Friday program. I do thank you for coming in, and we salute you for your service, and thank you very much for giving us what we have.
Well, thank you for giving me the chance to let her out some of this stuff. It kind of helps get some of this out, even though I have done some before, but it brings back good and bad memories.
You bet. Well, again, thank you very much, and continued health.
Well, thank you, Jim.